Audacity. Who gave you attitude?
This edition of the Caribbean News Roundup includes an explanation on why the Barbadian Prime Minister opted for a snap general election, and more coming right up. We kick off with Barbados elections news. At least one opposition party has expressed its willingness to support the Alliance Party for Progress, APP, which has suggested legal action against the government. The APP wants to see provisions made for COVID-19 positive people to vote in the January 19th general elections or to postpone the polls. Leader of Solutions Barbados, Grenville Phillips, said that once the facts are related to any court action and the basis were firmly established, his party would have no problem joining a lawsuit. But declaring that Solutions Barbados does not support matters that are not meaningful, Phillips insisted that parties that intend to join the suit must first meet and agree on the grounds and then take the case to President Dame Sandra Mason for her direction. APP leader Bishop Joseph Athley made the call for opposition parties to come together after Chairman of the Electoral and Boundaries Commission, EBC, Leslie Haynes, QC, said persons who tested positive for COVID-19 and are in isolation or quarantine cannot vote. Athley said if legal action was not taken, thousands of eligible voters would be robbed of their franchise. On Thursday, Phillips identified two options his party was willing to embrace, one of which is a court injunction to delay the poll. But he said the more appropriate one would be to get the information from the chief electoral officer confirming or denying that persons who tested positive for the virus would not be allowed to vote. And staying with Barbados, why did Prime Minister Mia Motley decide to call a snap election, which was announced at a press conference on December 26, Boxing Day? Dr. Christina Hines, senior lecturer in political science, speaking on the regional program Mekwe Talk, pointed to the explanation that was given by Prime Minister Motley.
The people of Barbados need to rally around one leader going forward, and she was seeking to get away from some of, I guess, the divisive discussions that were occurring relating to a lot of things, such as Barbados having become a republic recently in November. There were a lot of discussions around this with opposition parties noting things such as they would have liked to have seen a referendum, or they were not pleased with the timing of Barbados becoming a republic. And there are similar discussions that relate to things such as vaccination. Today, we had a nurses protest. Some of our nurses have been on strike for about a month. And today, they took to the streets to protest. So there are these issues that we see in Barbados. And from what I gather from the Prime Minister's speech, as well as things that she has said since on political platforms, she seems to believe that opposition parties, if we want to call them that, so the opposition as well as other parties in Barbados, are really taking advantage of some of the situations in the country and are using these for political purposes because they believe an election is on the horizon within the next year to year and a half. So what she said is that in order to preempt all of this, because we have some serious work ahead of us in dealing with the pandemic and the financial situation in Barbados, she would like to call the election and settle the subject.
Health and port authorities in Grenada have cancelled 5 cruise ship calls over a 9-day period due to outbreaks of flu-like symptoms on board vessels. GBN News reports that the ships that were turned away were scheduled to call between December 29 last year and January 7, Friday, quoting Nyquan Roberts, nautical development manager for the Grenada Tourism Authority. Under the Grenada cruise ship protocol, cruise lines are mandated to immediately report outbreaks of acute respiratory illness, flu-like illness among passengers or crew members, and any COVID-19 positive cases to the Port Health Authority and local agents. In Trinidad and Tobago, unvaccinated patients still count for the majority of COVID-19 hospital admissions, as TTT News reports.
National statistics indicate that 86% of patients admitted to the hospitals to be treated for COVID-19 are unvaccinated. Head of the Adult Emergency Department at the Eric Williams Medical Sciences Complex, Dr. Kiran Suraj, revealed some of the trends he noticed from July to December 2021.
Similar trend in our emergency department in that the vast majority of patients who present to our COVID-19 pathways are not vaccinated. We've also noticed that the minority, roughly 14% or thereabout, who are vaccinated typically have milder disease.
One of the ways health professionals gauge the severity of a patient's illness is the oxygen requirement. Dr. Suraj revealed the amount of oxygen required by vaccinated and unvaccinated patients.
Have an average of a 7.6 liters per minute of oxygen utilization, whereas the few that are vaccinated in our hot pathways that are not ICU level don't require any supplemental oxygen.
The Eastern Caribbean Supreme Court is scheduled to have a virtual opening of its law year 2022 tomorrow, Tuesday. This Carlisle John Baptist report begins with the theme for the law year.
The ECSC, reimagining the justice system in the era of COVID and beyond. Chief Justice, Her Ladyship Dame Janice M. Pereira, and other distinguished speakers from the inner and outer bar across the OECS will deliver addresses. Dominican attorney Noelis Knight Didier, who is a representative of the outer bar in Dominica and presently a partner of the firm of Harris, Harris and Didier in Rosa, Dominica since July 2013, is also a speaker at the opening. She was called to the bar of the Eastern Caribbean Supreme Court, Commonwealth of Dominica, in October 2003 and to the Barbados bar in July 2019. Mrs. Knight Didier is also a trained and certified abattoir and mediator. She has been a member of the Chartered Institute for Abattoirs since 2015 and on the roster of mediators for the Eastern Caribbean Supreme Court from October 2019.
A wave of COVID-19 infections has washed St. Lucian shores yet again. This despite efforts by national authorities to implement ordinance in an attempt to reduce the effect of the global pandemic. NBC Prime News has been soliciting opinions on the actions of nationals and the impact of the fifth wave now hitting the island.
People blaming government, okay? They take advantage. And when they finish, they blaming government. As that happened after the numbers growing, they have nothing to do with government. You understand? Because they warned before they put the protocol.
Look into the police, some of the police officers. Some of them does drink a lot of rum. Some people that sell their rum back door and the officers just be there and not saying a word.
We like too much friends. Don't rest on each other. That person talking to you, that saliva flying everywhere and you have to be there.
I mean, you pass in certain places and you see almost nobody is wearing masks. Right now, there are many activities happening, social activities where persons are basically engaging within close quarters, close proximities to each other, dancing and of course, drinking alcohol with no masks. And in the first place, you know you're supposed to be socially distancing, but persons are not doing so in addition to, of course, being intoxicated and basically not adhering to any protocols. So that, I think, is part of the reason why we are now going through the spike, which most recently was realized. I think 230-something persons on the last account I recall. So we really should try our best as a people to adhere to the protocols.
The annual Marine Festival went on in Jamaica despite COVID concerns. The spike in COVID-19 cases did not stop hundreds of residents and outsiders who journeyed to a compound in St. Elizabeth to celebrate the 284th annual Marine Festival. There was uncertainty about the event amid media reports that the security forces would be clamping down on the mass gathering. However, the festivities went ahead as planned. Meanwhile, a police shooting incident at a maroon dance on Thursday resulted in one death. More from TVJ News.
Residents of Akongpong, St. Elizabeth are fuming after a deadly incident at a dance in the Maroon town last night. The incident has left one man dead and five others injured. O'Shane Masters reports.
Scenes from what was to be a party in Akongpong, St. Elizabeth as part of the 284th anniversary celebrations of the Maroons. But what was to be fun and frolic turned deadly within minutes. It's reported that an altercation developed between a member of the Jamaica Constabulary Force, who is also a Maroon, and other individuals at the event. TVJ News understands the JCF member wanted to enter the event along with other Maroons when he was denied entry. The officer was reportedly attacked when he discharged his firearm and six persons were shot, one fatally. Among the injured, two children ages 6 and 12. Members of a Maroon community in St. Elizabeth are now fuming.
That only paint a different picture for the colonel. They don't paint a total different bad picture for the colonel. Right? Which never happened as a year time. Never in a history.
But the residents believe the incident could have been avoided. Our news team was told that there were several parties within the community which were shut down by the police. However, the main dance was allowed to go on. They say the police should not have allowed it to take place.
And that's the Caribbean News Roundup for today, Monday, 10th January. I'm Ken Richards. Thanks for listening.
The Caribbean News Roundup, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 7:30 a.m., 12:30 p.m., and 6 p.m. Let's get to know our region even better with OSAR Radio.